Lax 904 presents This Week in North Florida Lacrosse.
This Week in North Florida Lacrosse on 1010XL is brought to you by MSHAC,
Derek Prince Realtor,
and Bar Down Lacrosse.
Now here's your host, Ray Carnicelli.
Try to be best, cause I'm only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the
greetings. Welcome to This Week in Lax 904. I am Ray Carnicelli. Let this music play out just a little bit. Jim, why are you smiling over there? Because you had to listen to this on the way in a couple times?
Whole entire ride, right?
Welcome to This Week in Lax 904. I am Ray Carnicelli, joined by Jim Applegate and Chris Milo. A lot of lacrosse going on. Guys, did you watch any lacrosse yesterday?
Just a little bit.
Jim?
Absolutely.
JU, huge game, huge win at Air Force. Flagler kept their playoff hopes alive with a hammering up in Georgia of Shorter. We've got the high school playoffs are underway. They've been underway, but now we're down to the regional quarterfinals. That's where we are right now. So we'll go over the brackets and give some updates and maybe some predictions. MCLA is in town. Jim, who's playing over there and what happened at Bowles?
So we have Florida taking on Georgia Tech at 11 o'clock for the Division One championship.
Of the SELC?
SELC, yes. And then Kennesaw State's playing FAU, and that game's going to be at 2:30.
So the Noles, was that an upset with the Seminoles losing? Has anyone done a wellness check on Darby Brower? Chris, let's text him.
Yeah, we did not.
Chris, you mind texting Darby during the break?
I'll send him a message.
Yeah, let's just make sure he's okay. I'm a little worried about him.
Yeah, it was a nail-biter of a game, 17-16, and Florida State just didn't take care of business.
So with the MCLA, there's still a chance they'll make the national playoffs,
I would fully expect them to make the national.
Okay, so maybe Darby is okay.
So, yeah, there's always an at-large bid, but you want to be the conference champ when it comes
to that. And in Division II, where's UNF and Stan? Are they golfing today?
Yes, as of last Saturday, we've been golfing.
It's golf season.
Yes.
I want to thank our sponsors, Bar Down Lacrosse, Derek Prince of Derek Prince Realtor. Did you play golf with Derek this week?
Yes, I did. We had a great time out there on Jack's Beach on Friday.
Who shot a better score?
Derek always beats me up. I hate to say it.
The MSHAC, Jack's Blue Claws Lacrosse Club, and Cantina Louie. I want to thank all of our sponsors. We're going to have Coach Galloway on today to talk about that amazing game out in Colorado. It's Bellarmine week, though. We got to get – did I say that right?
It's Bellarmine.
I thought it was Bellarmine.
I don't know. We have to ask Craig Carson.
I go Bellarmine because it gets Carson upset.
And Dylan Ward.
Yes.
Yeah, he still has a grudge against you. So it's Bellarmine week, and just doing that research on Bellarmine, they're top-heavy on the scoring, a lot like Jacksonville. It's the Battle of the Della Rocos. Christian Della Roco for Bellarmine, 18 goals, 10 assists on the season. And Ryan Della Roco brings the juice for JU in goal. So it's the Battle of the Della Rocos this week. As far as the national scene yesterday, Chris, did Syracuse get your heart rate up at all?
Oh, quite a bit yesterday. And I was texting back and forth with Coach Bocklet. As everybody knows, he went to Virginia. He knows I'm a Syracuse fan, so we were going back and forth. It was a great game, a lot of fun. Coach Applegate was throwing his little ribs in there, too, because he doesn't like Syracuse.
Do you have a college team besides JU that you root for?
Hofstra. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have one.
He just doesn't like Syracuse.
Said Division I because we know the Wooster lame Scots or whatever.
Fighting Scots.
Fighting Scots.
But we were just going back and forth, and just a great game. It was just unbelievable.
The final score was 18-17, Syracuse out on top. They retired Paul Gates, number 19. It was a great scene. I talked to some people who were there, and Paul, who's had some health issues with his fall, he came out in the wheelchair. He looked great. He looked amazing. And so we'll talk more about the Division I scene. Hopkins over Maryland, 7-5, was one of the really good games. And then that Michigan-Ohio State thriller last night on the Big Ten Network. Chris, we'll go through it in more detail, but did any other scores jump out at you in Division I?
Other than my Sacred Heart Pioneers beating Canisius, the Boston Lehigh game. I'm trying to find the schedule.
It was 13-12 Lehigh over BU.
Yes, Boston was leading late into the fourth quarter, and Lehigh came back and won. That was a big one. I was surprised about that.
You know, Air Force was leading by 5 goals at one point yesterday.
Yes, I know. They were up 5-0.
The one game that was intriguing to me was Mercer and Queens, even though it had no relevance. I find myself rooting for Queens. Colin Kelly, the goalie at Mercer, and been in communication with his father over the years. And, you know, when Ashton Wood was there, and the coach is great. But Coach Kolpitz at Queens spent some time at JU, and we've got Nace and Sledzik, who's on the IR, and Corbett. So I was really hoping that they could pull that game out, but they lost 10-9. But they're getting better and better and more competitive as, what, a second-year program?
Yeah, second-year D1, yes.
In terms of the high school scene, just a quick rundown. We've got some rematches. I've seen Nice and Fletcher play twice now. We called that first game, Jim, you and I did, where Fletcher came out on top, and then we watched the rematch where it looked like Fletcher was battling hard and might pull away, and Nice came back and defeated them. And so this third game, Chris, when is that? Do you have that handy?
April 27th at 7 p.m. at Nice High School.
So this week, it's at Nice. Okay. Yes. Well, looking forward to that one. Are there any of the other quarterfinal games that either of you guys is really, got it circled and can't wait to watch?
To be honest, no.
Chris?
Well, I mean, Lake Mary against Lake Brantley, but no. I mean, I think the big one that I think everybody that's watching high school lacrosse is going to be watching Nice versus Fletcher.
Who does St. Augustine play?
Gulf Breeze.
Okay, and they're the Panhandle team, and yeah.
And I don't think anybody's traveling out to Gulf Breeze to watch that game.
Is it over there?
Yes.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's we'll dive a little more into the high school scene and do some projections. We are going to broadcast at least one more high school game to be announced this weekend. I am going to be calling the Bellarmine at Jacksonville game with play-by-play or color commentator to be determined at this point. My two guests here are not available. Jim's going to be in an Adirondack chair right close to the sidelines, but I'm sure I'll have somebody awesome. Craig Carson refuses to do it. The Bellarmine alum, the Nice alum, the deputy in St. John's County, he did a game with me a few years ago, and he's still in shell-shocked about it. So, well, we're going to go ahead and take our first break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to the head coach of the JU Dolphins, John Galloway. You're listening to This Week in Lax 904 on 1010 XL.
Let's ring up another guest on the All-Pro Roofing phone line.
Now more of the fastest game on 2 feet with This Week in North Florida Lacrosse on 1010 XL.
Welcome back. Welcome back to This Week in Lax 904. The studio is full with Jim Applegate, Chris Milo, and I am Ray Carnicelli. We want to thank our sponsors, Bar Down Lacrosse, Derek Prince of REMAX Specialists, the M Shack, Jack's Blue Claws Lacrosse Club. Easier to read than to say out loud. Cantina Louie. We want to welcome on our first guest today, the head coach of the JU Dolphins, John Galloway. Coach, how you doing this morning? How was your weekend?
I'm doing well, guys. It's it was better after a long day in Colorado Springs yesterday. So, doing well. How are you?
It's Bellarmine week. I'm doing well. And I know that's where your focus is, but hopefully you can oblige us with a few questions about yesterday's thriller.
Absolutely. No, it was an amazing trip for us, and yeah, we are, you know, certainly looking forward to a big week this week, but a lot of lessons to be had from yesterday, so we're still diving into that as well.
As a fan, you're playing against a zone defense, and you're playing against a hot goalie, and I don't think he was hot because it was a zone defense. You guys had some really good looks, and he played great, but I will say the maturity of your team and the patience that you guys showed, I'm not a very patient person, and it was really impressive. Talk to me about the patience of your team and not you know, they didn't lose their poise.
Yeah, you know, as we've talked about in the past, sometimes in zone offense, just like in basketball, if you don't hit your first couple threes, you start to squeeze a little bit tighter. And I felt like in the first quarter, there was a bevy of good looks that we had, and they were either deflected or, as you mentioned, Merrick, I thought, had a fantastic game. And, you know, we started the game 2 for 22 shooting. And that can lead to a lot of just, you know, mental block. And I was proud of our guys to be able to make some adjustments halftime with our zone offense. And more importantly, just to have the discipline to work for better looks. And ultimately, we were able to find out enough. But I think there's areas of improvement as well, obviously. And we'll continue to add to our arsenal on that side of the ball.
You know this because you're a goalie. When you see a goalie chase shots, or even if it's deflected and you can see that he's tracking it and chasing ground balls, and you know that goalie is on. And yesterday, Ryan Delarocco, as many amazing saves as he made, his ground balls were incredibly impressive to me.
Yeah, we've challenged Ryan with, you know, not only making the fantastic saves that we see on a daily basis, but trying to be more impactful outside of the net. And you saw that yesterday with his willingness to make a save, but then immediately have the instinct to go and chase it. And I think he ended up with 5 or 6 ground balls on the day, and some big ones, some in key moments of the game, obviously the most important being the one in overtime. But, you know, we knew that Air Force had some dangerous shooters that weren't going to result in a lot of catches, which put Ryan in a position to have to go chase down his own. And, you know, some of those ended up in key possessions that allowed us to be able to win the game.
I made some notes during the game, and that was the first one. The second one here, I'm reading it here, is 21 is a – and we'll skip that one, number 21 for Air Force. Intrary's bounce pass, is that something that you've seen him do in practice, and would Coach Messer have liked that back in your high school days?
No, Jackson does some things that you just can't teach. And, you know, part of his flair for the dramatic is his skill level. I mean, it's something he works on every day, and I don't know how much Coach Messer would approve, but Jackson brings a flair and a flavor to our offense, and even just his ability to shoot. I mean, his last goal is something that few guys can do, to be able to yank the ball low to high from that tight of an angle. And, you know, his vision in the zone, we got to get him more touches. But I'm really proud of him because he was a really steady, calming force throughout the game. And I've seen him in years past maybe try to make too many plays or force some things. And yesterday he let the game come to him, and that's what we're going to need out of him down the stretch.
Yeah, I always bring up a play or two that stands out to me. That was one. But also, Taguri, he had a takeaway that was just so nonchalant, and it led to a transition goal. And when you're playing against a zone defense and maybe struggling a little bit, it's something like that that everyone remembers the fast break goal, but it was that caused turnover that led it. Do you know which play I'm talking about? I know he had a couple.
Yeah, no, I believe I know the exact one you're talking about. He actually ended up finding a way to dislodge the ball in a tight quarters, and Aaron's ability to pick the ball off the turf is one of his best attributes, and immediately thinking offense first. And as you mentioned, things weren't falling for us in 6-on-6 as often as we would like, but we needed some of those transition opportunities. And between him and some of the plays Tucker Garrity made in the middle of the field off the turf, that generated just enough offense for us, and, you know, allowed us to climb back in a game that was kind of a stalemate there for a while.
Yeah, Pellegrino had a really nice cause turnover. I made a note of that too. Jacob Griner seems to like contact and gets fired up a little bit, and it got a little chippy and physical out there, and I think that helped Jacksonville.
Yeah, you know, Jacob's a guy that will do everything that is asked of him. And, you know, we felt like we were taking some low-angle shots in the zone, and we asked our guys to kind of nice gaps on the wings. And, you know, just because it's a zone doesn't mean you can't beat your man. And Jacob took that upon himself to get in front. And some of the shots didn't go, but they created rebounds that allowed us to finish. And him and Ethan Lamont made some tough plays in contact. That, to your point, were momentum swingers as well, because our guys weren't afraid to mix it up in the middle a little bit, and that's what you need from our offensive guys.
You mentioned Ethan Lamont, and that was the next note I had. The intensity level that he brings, he had a couple shots that didn't fall early, and then one of the goals, it was just that step around just inside the low near side pipe. That was demonstrating to me that he wasn't getting frustrated, and the guy wasn't getting frustrated. He just adjusted.
Yeah, I was really proud of Ethan. He actually had a little bit of a stomach bug, so he was throwing up during the first half, and we weren't able to run him as much as we'd like. And, you know, his ability to shoot the ball and his unique releases makes it difficult, you know, and it adds another layer to our zone offense. So when we were able to get going in the second half, we asked him to kind of gut it out and keep going out there. And again, he made some tough plays. And, you know, there's two or three that he just missed as well. And you start to think about, okay, if we can start to generate some more opportunities like that, just one or two more of those fall. And, you know, that's what you have to do. You have to put your best players out in moments like that. At this time of year, it's a senior game. And you know, some of our seniors made those plays when we needed them to.
I sent out one of my wildly popular newsletters yesterday morning, and the featured pitcher was Vito Caputo, Antony, and it said, score the goal, take the cannoli. And that goal that he scored at the end, it was funny because in the possession or the pass before he bobbled it, and you know, I was getting nervous it was going to be a turnover, and then the same set came through, and he just stung it. Forget about changing levels. Just throw it hard at the corner. Talk to me about that goal. And his reaction was amazing. I had chills.
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing up that moment. It's funny. His mom, after the game, had chicken cutlets ready for him, too, homemade from Long Island. So he was rewarded the right way. But, you know, Antony, you know, we challenged Antony this week at shooting camp. I kind of got on him on Monday and Wednesday that, you know, just wasn't clicking. He, you know, we wanted to be more fundamentally sound, and he stayed after practice on Friday with Ryan Delarocco taking some shots, and he was every corner he was hitting. And, you know, we started to really talk about the belief in a shot again on Friday afternoon. And Ryan was even commenting and complimenting on his shot. And, you know, in that moment we had a flag down, and you felt like there was just a sense of confidence that, hey, we got a free possession here. Let's play loose. And that's what we needed, was just to play with that type of confidence and belief that, you know, we could do it. And if it didn't shake, we'd get another opportunity. And you saw the way that he stepped into that and the stroke that he had. And then, you know, we mentioned after the game, this is a moment that you're going to have for the rest of your life, you know, regardless of how the season ends. And we hope it doesn't end for many more weeks, but that's a moment that we'll have for the rest of our lives. And the smile on his face in the locker room, he was choked up, you know, speaking to the team at the end. And, you know, that was an important moment for him. And he is part of our program, even if it is just been a short period of time.
I've gotten to meet his parents and actually met him last week. He's a pretty big dude. His sister went to Cortland. So great family. And I'm craving some chicken cutlets right now. Playstead, O'Rourke, Ali, Delarocco, Westcote. They've got some goal scorers over there in Louisville.
Holy cow. Yeah, they are dangerous on the offensive end. It feels like those names have been on our scout for years now. And you know, the coming into the year, you knew Bellarmine's attack was going to be dangerous. They're all seniors. They've all scored at a high clip. You throw in Ali, who's nearly 40 goals right now, which is just an incredible statistic. And, you know, they have some unique pieces throughout their team. So we know the challenge that's ahead of us. They're playing with a certain swagger. They play with a certain demeanor on the sidelines that we're going to have to challenge our guys to hold their, you know, hold their cool a little bit and keep their minds calm. And they've really embodied the DNA of their coaching staff. And it's going to be a cool challenge for us this Saturday.
As a lacrosse fan and a goalie fan, J.C. Higginbotham's somebody that's really fun to watch, and I think he's Applegate's age right now. It seems like he's been there for forever. Talk to me about the goalie. You guys have had some battles.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think J.C. might be out here. You know, he suffered a pretty bad injury a couple of games ago, and okay. You know, we're hoping for the best. I don't know the exact results of the injury, but he has not played the past couple, and we'll see whether or not he's going to be able to make it out. But, you know, he has had such a fantastic year. I think, you know, you look at the statistics, you look at the standings, him and Ryan are kind of neck and neck, in my opinion, as the two goalies at the top of the echelon. And, you know, we'll see what unfolds there, but we'll be ready for everybody. And as you mentioned, I feel like we've played against JC, you know, there's a couple years that we played him twice in a year. So it feels like seven or eight times. It's a rooted rivalry. And that stays true with everybody on that roster. So I know that they're going to be itching. They dropped one yesterday, so we know that they'll be motivated at practice this week, and so will we to defend our turf one last time.
I watched them in that Utah game, and it was so telling the way that you know, they battled, and you know, it was such a shame that it looks like they came back hungry, or like they learned something from that game. And you know, Coach Whitley, and I'm a big fan of his, and don't tell Carson this, but I do kind of root for Bellarmine when it doesn't impact Jacksonville. Talk to me about just the culture over there, because that is a pretty impressive program in a pretty cool place.
Yeah, they are playing with the swagger that reminds me a lot of High Point. You know, it's kind of the comparison we've made as a coaching staff, is they're not afraid to get in your face. They're not afraid to let you know. They are playing from end line to end line. They play from sideline to sideline with you know, what they bring on the sideline energy, and they're not afraid to mix it up. So it's a physical team. It's a team that tries to intimidate you. They're going to put their hands on you defensively. They're going to try to disrupt your patterns. They're not going to sit back and play passively. And then, you know, the offense is, again, one of the more skilled groups in the country, not just our conference, but that attack. They do some things just out of pure skill that if you're not prepared or you're not engaged throughout the entire possession, they'll catch you. They'll catch you off guard. And they're playing with great pace right when they cross the midfield line. So we're going to be challenged and strained in a lot of ways with this offense. And, you know, it's going to take a full week of preparation and engagement. And, you know, that's going to be our point of emphasis this week. So it's finals week, but we got to final ourselves on Saturday, and we'll be prepared for it.
As talented as Ryan and Christian Della Rocco are, their sister, who's headed the University of Florida, may be the most talented lacrosse Della Rocco of the crew. But will you talk to Ryan, or you probably know him well enough as to whether playing against his brother in a huge game like this is going to affect him at all?
You know, I think he has a great respect for his brother. And, you know, even throughout the year, there's not a ton of – it almost like this really – deep respect. Hey, he doesn't even want to talk about Bellarmine. He doesn't want to talk about what he's hearing or what he's thinking. He's you know, he's focused on this, but he also admires and follows along with his brother. And, you know, I give credit to his mom. It seems like she's does such a hell of a job balancing, being able to see both and watch both and stream a game while she's not there. And, you know, it'd be nice for that family to be able to be at one location and see them both at the same time. So Ryan will be ready, though. I know he was so focused going into this past weekend, and although the stats might not scream an explosive game, I think anybody that watched it saw the impact that Ryan had on that game this past Saturday.
Amazing, amazing saves. Well, Coach, you've got a lot of work to do this week. I'm looking forward to seeing you out at Rock Beach on Saturday. Congratulations on the road win, hard-fought road win, comeback win, and let's do it again Saturday.
I look forward to it. Have a great weekend, guys.
Thanks, Coach. Coach John Galloway, just quickly before we take the break, we'll talk more about it in the second half of the show. Chris, just a couple of quick takes on the game yesterday.
Just a great comeback. When I walked in, when met up with Applegate and the boys, I think they were down 5-0 at that point, and it was looking a little grim, but very excited that they clawed back and were able to pull it out.
Jim.
Yeah, I just mentioned early on in the game saying that Jacksonville needed 3 or 4 transition goals to, you know, to win this game, and I think they ended up getting 3 or 4.
There was one. It was the 9th goal. It was in my notes where I can't remember if it was Della Rocco or somebody. It was on a break out of the defensive end. They threw the ball intentionally ahead of Garrity. They didn't try to force the pass in because he had some guys, but they bounced it ahead of him so he could run and pick it up on the ground, and they scored the 9th goal that way. You know, that wouldn't have worked back in our day because we were playing on muddy fields and the ball would have probably sunk two inches deep. But those transition goals were huge. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we want your calls and texts at 904-641-1010 this week in North Florida lacrosse on 1010 XL.
After a quick pass, we're back to this week in North Florida lacrosse on 1010 XL.
Welcome back to this week in North Florida lacrosse. Jim Applegate, Chris Milo, and I am Ray Carnicelli. Follow me on X at Lax904. So, great talking to Coach Galloway. I asked you guys to think about a play or two that really stood out. Great play, fun play. It can't be Anthony Caputo's goal. So, Chris.
That's not fair.
Well, that's obvious. Yeah. Go ahead, Chris. Give me a couple.
I have two, and I think Coach Galloway talked about it. And it bothers me just because I can't do it when Intrieri, it looked like he was pretty much behind the goal when he shot from low to high, and he just makes it look so easy, but it was just super pretty goal. And then the other one was Griner. He shot it. The Air Force goalie saved it. He picked it up and then scored and then got buried. But it seemed like at that point everybody just kind of rallied around him, and it just seemed like it got the team really going. And I'm sorry, Jim, I think you were reacting. I'm pretty sure we were thinking of the same one. But that one kind of stood out to me too.
Applegate.
Yeah, so I'm going to give a shout out to Manu Wilhelm, right? He had that.
Oh, wait.
I know. No. I know, but you know.
The step back goal?
Yes. And it really was a nice play. Unfortunately, it was against Jacksonville. If we had lost the game, I probably wouldn't be bringing it up, but really
God,
was.
He's good.
He is good. He's quick.
What were they calling him? The Blue Baron?
We didn't have the sound on. So.
Okay. Yeah. The Blue Baron.
Yeah. So I will definitely give him that. And then I don't remember the situation because obviously Chris and I and Tucker, we were talking and watching at the same time, but just out of the corner of my eye, I see Della Rocca running back to the cage, making a diving save. And, and I just thought to myself, you know, there he goes again. He's just incredible in there.
Boy, some of the saves he made. Okay. So one of my favorite plays, I don't even know who it was. And so Della Rocca, I think he made a save or it went off the post and the ball went high into the air. And you could see him pointing to it, which tells me that the goalie's on. He's tracking that ball. And the Air Force player is like reaching up for it and waiting for the ball to come down. I'm like, oh my God, this guy's going to get destroyed and there's going to be a penalty on Jacksonville. And whoever it was for JU, if anyone knows, hit me up on Twitter, timed it perfectly and just decked the guy. And we talk about the momentum changing in that game, and it was physical, but it was just a perfectly timed hit. It was within 5 yards of the ball. If he would have hit him earlier, the ball would have been over 5 yards above him. So it would have been they almost probably could have called like unnecessarily roughness, but I'm glad they didn't. So that was one of my favorite plays. And then there was that clear to Garrity where the defense just kind of led him with a bounce pass. And it's just so savvy to be able to do that. You know that most of the time Garrity's going to come up with a ground ball and create that fast break. So a lot of great moments in that game. Chris, some performances. Jim mentioned Manu Wilhelm.
Yeah, Manu Wilhelm from Creekside, currently at Air Force, had a goal and two assists against Jacksonville. Eric Dobson at Notre Dame had a goal and an assist against North Carolina. The big one, Guy Bistro at St. Leo's, formerly of Providence, 4 goals and 2 assists against Florida Southern, and I believe, and I'm sure that we're going to get confirmation on this, he is now the all-time leading goal scorer at St. Leo's University, right?
Yeah, what a career. Goals and assists and just being able to do it at big times. Unfortunately, they lost
lost to Florida Southern, and yeah. I think they're done. Their season is done
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's tough in Division II because not too many teams make the playoffs, so there's not a lot of at-large bids, and so... Well, and what a great conference the Sunshine State Conference is. And, Guy has been tremendous. And I'm not sure if you had him down there, but Sean Caracciolo at Rollins.
He had a goal and an assist against a game against St. Leo's. So St. Leo's, that was, I think, on the 17th or something like that.
And
so
he's had
a
really
ago.
Nice season this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, we saw Sean play as a freshman, and he's really grown up and come a long way with his game, but he's always been very savvy out there and a student of the game.
When we look at the stats, a lot of times I think we go to Inside Lacrosse during the games and look at the face-offs, the goals, and the save percentages. But I dug a little deeper, just some of these D guys that are out there. I just wanted to mention some names. Like Luke Lowry at Dartmouth, freshman, had a couple of caused turnovers yesterday. He had a shot on goal, so anyone who's watched him play throughout his high school career at Providence and PV knows he likes to run it up and down the field. So that was pretty cool to see him start to get some playing time.
Yeah, the other one I was telling you about, Bryce Christmas, a Bartram player, currently plays at Malone. He's an LSM. He has 45 ground balls and 14 caused turnovers this year. A tremendous season. The other one I wanted to talk about, Jack Dowd, he had 4 goals and 2 assists at Montclair State. They are currently Salisbury's undefeated so far this season, so I'm pretty sure they're looking to get another Division III championship.
Jim, just quickly over to high school. Pontevedra's offense looks like it's starting to come together. Cannon Houseman is a fire starter.
He
and
really,
that's something that they were lacking.
Yeah, he really is. He was out earlier in the season, and the other thing is the attack now is starting to get comfortable playing together. So, but Cannon definitely is drives the offense.
And at Bowles, we'll talk a little bit more about Bowles, but Gavin Borey's back, and he's been missing. So, you know, Houseman, they played a bunch of games without Cannon. Mason will be back in a game or two, and so they'll be at full strength. And then, you know, Borey, Bowles has done their thing. We're going to go ahead and welcome our next guest. Matt Kerwick is on the line. Coach Kerwick, how are you?
I'm doing great, Ray. How you doing? Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. How are things up in God's country in the Finger Lakes?
It's beautiful. It was 39 this morning. It's up to a balmy like 45 right now. So it's just great to be in God's country, as usual.
So you're in Skinny Atlas. Are you dressed appropriately? Do you have a collared shirt tucked in with a belt and some loafers?
Absolutely not. It's a yard work kind of day, right? So I'm in sweats and I'm ready to attack the day, win the day, as we said for Corey Lovrich, right?
Yes. You and I were texting about Air Force in Jacksonville and the altitude. I think it might have been one of your sisters or your brother who said that you know, it's a challenge to play out in the altitude. And you referenced your trip to Vail a couple years ago where your run slash jog was not affected.
I think I said jog slash walk. Was okay. Not affected to play in 50 and up lacrosse, as you know, Ray. There's not a lot of sprinting going on, but I've always thought it was a little bit overblown with the altitude. It does affect you for sure, but you know, it's something that you go to your depth and you add a couple guys into the rotation in the midfield and you should be absolutely fine. These guys are in incredible shape, right? And it was a great win for Jacksonville yesterday. So really happy for Coach Callaway and the boys.
You know, you did it out there in 2012 with, I think, Bobby Stockton had three or four goals, and Max Growski had to remind me that he had three assists that day as well, and the late, great OG had one. But around the scene around Division I yesterday, what caught your eye?
Well, I was able to catch up on it. You know, I was watching Sean, my son, play in a tough game yesterday, a good game. But, you know, it's obviously getting down to the nitty gritty, right? It's getting down to crunch time and teams are starting to separate themselves a little bit. The leagues are starting to get figured out and, you know, I was able to catch the end of that Syracuse game. I mean, that was something that Dwan, Billy Dwan. And, I don't know if you know his dad, he was a great player back in the day and seeing him score that crazy goal to tie it at 17. And he's had three or four of those goals this year that were just pretty amazing with a pole in your hand to do that. So that was a huge win for Cuse. And, you know, it's coming down to it. You know, when you look at some of these games that are coming in the A-10, I think it's a huge one, right? I think St. Joe is playing at Richmond to basically for that league championship.
I want to do a little wrap around here with, because we don't have a lot of time, but I want to go through some conferences. And you tell me definitively who wins these conferences. Ready, set, ASUN.
ASUN.
That's Jacksonville, Air Force, Utah, and the boys.
Yeah, of course. You got to go with the favorite, Utah, right now, but I'm rooting for Jacksonville.
What?
Get this guy off the show.
Sorry, we just lost Coach Kerwin. Okay. Just threw me there for a little bit of a loop. Guys, can you take over the show? The A10.
I'm gonna go with Richmond. Richmond, I think, is the class of that league, and St. Joe's obviously they got a tough group. He always coaches that group up, and they play really physically. So that'll be I'm going Richmond in that one.
So Matt's going against his roots at Hobart. He's going against his roots at Jacksonville. Let's go to, and he's been in every conference too. So let's go to the Ivy League.
coming down to Yale and Cornell, I'm going the Big Red.
All right, so he close to his heart. Big East.
The Big East.
It's always Denver, Georgetown, right?
Yeah, it seems like it's you know, Villanova is always a tough out. But I'm going to go that Georgetown's going to get them in the conference championship. They're going to beat Denver to win that league.
All right, Milo's writing these down for perpetuity. Big Ten. What a conference. Wow.
Big Ten is, I think Hopkins has separated themselves from the rest, but I'm going to go with Penn State to win the conference championship.
All right, we might have Matt Rambo on here in a minute. We'll see what he has to say about that. ACC.
ACC, you can't go against the Irish, the Fighting Irish.
Okay. Well, Coach, hopefully we can catch up soon, either here in Florida.
What about the Patriot? You didn't say the Patriots.
Oh, that's right. We talked about that earlier. I've got this light blinking in. Coach Tom West and Matt Rambo are standing by, and we're running out of time. But
well, you tell those guys to say hello, but I'm going to go with I'm going to go with Loyola is going to upset Army next week at Loyola.
All right. Chris and Jim, we're going to go through these, too.
That's
we'll see.
Huge.
But I think Army's going to win the conference tournament. So
they're both going to make the NCAA.
Ooh, yeah, that'd be interesting. It's going to be nip and tuck on that. Patriot is who knows going to win that one.
Well, can we have you back on maybe next week once these playoffs are set up and dig a little deeper?
Yeah, I'd really appreciate it, Ray, and try not to rush me off super quick next time.
Bum rush him.
That'll just be really enjoyable.
We know you wanted to get back to the yard work. So
if you would have called when I asked you to, we'd have been fine. All right, well, that was Matt Kerwick.
You guys be well.
All right, have a good day, Matt. And now we want to welcome on, I think it's Coach Tom West. Who's on the line?
We got both of us, guys. How you guys doing?
Tom West and Matt Rambo. We just had Coach Kerwick on, and I asked him to pick the winner in the Big Ten, and he said Hopkins. I want to know what Matt Rambo has to say.
It's hard to beat a team twice, so we'll see what happens. If they both make it to the championship for the Big Ten in the Big Ten tournament, but yesterday was an ugly game. It was a defensive game, not a lot of offense on both sides, so I guess whoever can get to 10 faster in that game is going to win.
Hey, what's going on over at Bowles today? Give me a little update.
We have the SLC championship going on, and we're sitting right now watching Florida and Georgia Tech warm up. So this is the first D1 game. It's going to be a really good game. Yesterday the games were fast; they were exciting. So we do this every year, and we're excited to see what happens today and to the big winner.
I think we're going to try to head over there right after the show, so maybe we'll see you, Matt. Were you up in Ohio this week or last week?
Yeah, I went up to Wooster College and did some, just a little bit with Wooster College, just helping their offense out, they wanted to pick my brain. They have a couple of big lefty.
Vinny DeLeo. Do you know who the all-time leading scorer in points in the history of Wooster College is?
Oh, yeah. I sent a pitch at the time, and we saw Little Applegate, and I was telling about – yeah, I was telling his son when he ref their game, I think on Friday or Wednesday that we're going up there. So it was pretty cool seeing them in the Hall of Fame and seeing them like Player of the Year. It was great, all over the wall.
And so they've got a couple guys who I don't know if Vinny DeLeo is going to make it, but there's another guy chasing Jim. But now with your tutoring, Jim's record's even more in jeopardy.
Yeah, I hope you didn't tune Kellogg's stroke too much.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be they said it was going to be really hard for them to beat. They got to go deep in the playoffs, and I think their game this weekend was a little surprising to them. They got beat pretty bad by Denison, but I think Denison's a powerhouse this year.
That's always a tough draw for Worcester these days.
But honestly, going up to Worcester, I actually loved the campus and loved the little city around it. It was really cool spot.
Hey, guys, switching over to Bowles right now. Tom, is this the first time you feel like your team's 100% healthy and ready to go for the playoff run?
I think we're getting there. Just seeing Gavin back in the red reversible this week was pretty uplifting for all the boys. And he just changes the game so much and how people can defend us. And then when you put him and Daylin and Parker Kane together, I'd put those three attackmen against anyone in Florida.
The Class 1A is shaping up to be quite a battle in the semifinals and definitely in the Final Four. Just give me your thoughts on the state of 1A right now around the state of Florida.
I think 1A is the toughest conference right now. There's so many teams that can win it and so many good teams in it. You have obviously the favorite St. Andrews. They won it last year, and they reloaded. And then you add the Benjamin School and Lake Highland to the mix, which are two awesome teams. And, you know, we're going to do our best, and we're going to get ready for them. And, you know, Matt's doing a great job with the offense, and Jake's doing a great job with the defense. And we just want another shot at him, guys. You know how it is.
Yeah, I'm hoping to be able to broadcast that North Region Final over at Bowl, so we'll stay tuned on that one. But your defense, it doesn't get talked about enough because of all the goal scorers you have, but you've got like five or six Hogan boys. And talk to me about your defenders and your goalie. I want to hear some names.
So this year we put a lot of time into our defense. Jake Heitner, who's our defensive coordinator and works with our goalies, has just done a great job with them. We have great D-middies in J.D. Mastin and Kellen Padgett. They do a great job playing offense and defense for us. Our pulls are led by, you know, Bryce Hogan, the Hogan boy. And then we have Tucker Chappell, and then we have David Carroll, who came to us from Louisiana, from New Orleans. We've got a great group there, and then we have guys after them that we can throw in and that are ready to go as well. Cam Z is one of our LSMs, and, you know, they do a great job there. And, you know, we've got Tommy Dunn on the, LSM. So we've got a great defensive group, and it's nice to know that, you know, both sides of the ball can really get it done this year for us.
I know I'm jumping all over the place here, but can you just give me a brief synopsis of what's happened with the Jack's Blue Claws?
We have a group that we're putting together for the summer of guys that want to train. It doesn't matter what high school they go to, as long as they're all in and they're committed to working hard. And we have our awesome coaching staff running the summer practices and summer program. And then we have a whole bunch of alumni coming back to work with us: Jack Dowd, Carter Parlett, Freddie Amato. The list goes on of great North Florida players that are going to be working with our guys. And then when Coach Rambo's in town and not representing the Bowl School in North Florida with the Whipsnakes, he'll be working with them. So we're really excited for the summer and just developing kids and trying to develop North Florida. You know, and so we have more than one or two or three programs that are dominating every year.
Is Matt still there?
He is.
Matt,
I'm right here.
Talk to me about, were you over in Japan?
Yeah, I was in Japan. We do that every year where it was great. I'm not playing indoor this year, so I got to do a lot of cool things with the PLL this year. So one of them was going to Japan, and they kind of have like their national team, but they had like 200 kids try out for just like an all-star game. We just do it. We put on a show in Japan and have a great game. They sell the stadium probably, you know, a little bit bigger than Bull Stadium. It's sold out, and, you know, lacrosse is huge there now. You saw, like, the World Games this year. They were top six this year, or top seven. So it's growing fast. They're fast learners, and it was a good time to be out in Japan. I love Japan. It's my second time there, so hopefully I can go back next year.
Yeah, watching the World Games, you could tell how well coached and how organized they were, and they were just like gears in sync and fun to watch. And I'm sure that was a great opportunity for you. Well, guys, I think we'll probably see you in a little while. We're wrapping up the show, but looking forward to the high school playoffs, trying to keep up with all the kids that Tom used to coach around Division I, II, III, and MCLA. I think we could put a team together of current college kids from North Florida and win some games between Hess and Dobson and Parlett and Shalit and go on and on and on, Krupski. And it's been a fun time to follow all these alumni. Tom, how do you keep up with it?
It's hard. I love my boys, and it's just great that, you know, everyone that's on this call and, you know, all the good coaches around here that put so much time into these boys. It's great.
Yeah, and you follow Lax904 on X to stay up to date.
I do. I was going to say, Matt and I have a seat reserved for the number one radio show for lacrosse in North Florida, and then the Hall of Fame All Points Leader for Worcester. We got two seats for you guys here in the VIP tent.
All right, and Milo can go fetch us
yes,
drinks.
That's right.
Milo's going to be. We need a ball guy in the corner if he can kind of help maybe there.
If you need referees, Applegate and I are on call.
I've told that story to many people, guys.
I was going to say, please don't do that again, Tom. Once and done here.
I appreciate it. We're going to wrap up the show in a few minutes and head that way. But really appreciate you and Matt, and looking forward to catching up.
Thanks, guys. See you soon.
All right. Matt Rambo, that guy's decent at lacrosse, right?
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's got what's it called? The Twarton Award, whatever that is.
Yeah, I have no idea. I can't spell it, so.
He's no Worcester points leader, though.
Wow, what a show. I try to be organized, but this was controlled chaos. Amazing game yesterday. Chris, give me a few more names from your list there before we get out here in a couple minutes.
Dad's not too happy with the show today. He says it's a little too disorganized, so. Just letting you know.
And dead air.
Yes.
You threw him for a curve.
Yeah, you threw me for a curve. I got nothing else. Yeah, the only thing, Brendan Ace had an assist against Mercer. John Mott's two goals against Lake Erie.
What about the guy from Malone?
I told you, Bryce Christmas. Three ground balls, two caused turnovers against Lake Erie. Yeah, great. He's having a great season so far.
Another shot to the head, Ray.
Yeah. Listen, there was a lot of lacrosse being watched this weekend. Jim, just what do you expect from JU versus Bellarmine, even though you're going to be on the sidelines enjoying yourself?
A very, like Coach said, a very competitive game, sideline to sideline, end line to end line, physical, tough, tenacious, and it's going to be a battle. Both teams want to – end the regular season with a win.
Well, let's just talk about the playoff scenarios. I didn't want to get into that with Coach Galloway, but right now, Utah, Air Force, and Jacksonville all have one loss. And, I confirmed with the ASUN information department that the tiebreak is the RPI. So right now, Jacksonville has the head-to-head against Air Force. Air Force has the head-to-head against Utah, and Utah has the head-to-head against Jacksonville. So somebody mentioned yesterday it might be poor points differential. Until I get that confirmed, I'm going to go with what the guy from the ASUN told me. So the RPI ranking, it's really fun to watch. It's strength of schedule. It's opponent's strength of schedule. It's a pretty unbiased view of the world, and I expect it'll come out again today or tomorrow, and I think Jacksonville is going to jump Air Force. Right now, Utah's like number 31 or 32.
Utah right now is number 29. Air Force is number 35, and Jacksonville's number 37.
What's the date they have right at the top?
April 19th.
Okay,
so it's going to change. Yeah, it's going to change here pretty soon.
So most likely, Jacksonville will jump Air Force, and what it means is they'll have a bye. So one of those teams is going to have to play midweek and then play again Friday in the semifinals, unless Robert Morris beats Air Force or Bellarmine beats Jacksonville. So if things hold as stand, it'll be a three-way tie, and then I think it's going to go to the RPI. So it's fun to watch. Obviously the focus for Jacksonville and the fans are Bellarmine. But guys, obviously I apologize, Nick, for the chaotic show. Next time we'll have Chris script it all out and make sure we get everything covered. I want to thank Coach Galloway. They got in late from that trip back from Air Force, so appreciate him joining. Coach Kerwick kind of bum-rushed him through a little bit, but we've got his take on who's going to win each of the conferences. Coach West and Coach Rambo, we're going to see those guys. We've got the high school games coming up this week, and follow me on X. Release the brackets in the newsletter, and we'll be releasing additional content all week. Anything else, Chris?
No, just happy to be here. Can't wait to be back next week.
Hard to believe the season's winding down, Ray.
It's winding down, and we're going to start our GoFundMe to get all three of us out to Colorado for the ASUN playoffs. So dig deep and get us out there. We want to do the show remotely from the Rocky Mountains. For Jim Applegate and Chris Milo, I want to thank Bar Down Lacrosse, Derek Prince, M-Shack, Jack's Blue Claws, and Cantina Louie. I am Ray Carnicelli. Have a great day.